Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplified.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am so thrilled to have somebody who is a true innovator in a field we all have a lot of angst over, housing. Do you buy? Do you rent? Can you find a place to live? Mike Kadine, the CEO of Norhart, thank you for being here on Your Brand Amplified.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so please tell us a little bit about your story. This is a family-owned and operated business, and I saw you've worked one or two other places before when I was going through your LinkedIn, but I want to hear more about your journey, your parents' journey, and the company that you all created.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, at a high level, we design, build, and rent apartments, but we're really focused in driving down the cost of construction. We've been achieving about a 20 to 30% reduction in those construction costs. And we believe that someday we can achieve a 50% reduction. But imagine what that means. That means someday your rent or mortgage payment could be half. And that's our dream as an organization. You know, my parents originally started this business. So I grew up with it. I was on site picking up nails and hammers and, and sweeping floors. In fact, there are pictures of me and cribs on a construction site.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure if that's entirely legal, but that was my life growing up. And while we were growing up, my parents actually lost everything. And at one point, my dad was actually kidnapped in Peru, believe it or not. We bounced back from that and I went off to college. And the one thing that I knew for certain is that I wanted nothing to do with the family business.
Of course.
And the reason that was simply because I didn't want people to think it was given to me. So I really wrestled with my own ego. But what I realized deep down is that I wanted to make some kind of meaningful, positive impact in the world. I realized I could do that by working with my dad, joining this small business and growing into something that had that kind of impact. So I actually did jump in after college and my dad and I worked great together. We worked for a few years together until one day, yeah, unexpectedly passed away. Literally overnight, I became CEO of this organization. That was a really challenging time. But since then, we've grown a lot. In fact, many years, we've been doubling in size every year. And now we're on track. Our dream over the next decade or so is to really make that kind of impact on housing to drive down your mortgage payment or your rent.
Wow. That certainly is something that everybody would like to see, I'm sure. You hear about people not buying now, just renting because they can't have home ownership because their credit, they don't have enough of a down payment. Or I live in California where it's very expensive, right? But even the cost of apartments and renting is expensive. And we hear about all these different places all over the country where people can't afford, who work in a community, can't afford to live there. Teachers, all kinds of workers. But before we dive more into that, you mentioned your parents at one point lost it all, had to restart, and you also mentioned Peru. So I know that you are based in Minnesota.
That's correct.
Yes, but it sounds like you may have taken the ventures to other places, or were you doing mission work, or what was the connection?
Yeah, my parents are very philanthropic. In fact, they loved the Special Olympics. Yeah. And one year, the Special Olympics were here in Minnesota. And while the kids had places to stay while they were here, the contestants, or the, as we call them, the athletes, had a place to stay while they were here, the families did not. And so my parents actually shared their home with a number of families to stay here when they were in the Special Olympics. Now, one of those families, the husband's name was Poncho, and they built this great relationship with Poncho. In fact, it came to the point where Poncho proposed this idea, because Peru at the time did not have very good public transportation. Mm-hmm. And they thought, well, why not bring some used buses from the United States to Peru, and then Poncho would operate this bus system. Wow. And then we could generate some of that cash flow back to pay off those buses. Parents said, okay, great. This sounds like a great thing to do to help that community. My parents are very involved in a number of mission work across the world. So my dad purchased the buses, sent them down, and Poncho sent monthly payments back to my family. All was going well until it didn't. Poncho stopped sending money, and my dad eventually started going down to Peru trying to figure out what was happening.
Yeah.
Eventually, it went to court. In fact, it went all the way to the Peruvian Supreme Court.
Oh, my God.
But one of the times that, well, he ended up losing. There was a bit of corruption, and he lost all of his money. And that's sort of how we lost everything at that point. We were very much in debt because of that.
Wow.
But one of the times that my dad was down in Peru, he was walking along the beach. And one of the men came up to him, and he was like, dude, you're from America, aren't you? Like, tell me everything. What is it like to be in America? Tell me about this, that. And then he ran off just as fast as he showed up.
Okay.
Dad thought that was a bit strange and kept walking along the beach until two uniformed police officers walked up to him and said, that man that you were just talking to, well, he's a known drug dealer. And we now need to take you downtown for some questioning.
Oh my gosh.
Started going with the police officers, stepped into the police car, and there was it was a small car, five seats, two front seats, and then there's no back doors or anything, just kind of a bench. My dad was sitting in the middle back of that car, and there was actually four men at this point, one in each of the other seats. And the moment he got in the car, he realized that they were not real police officers. They started asking my dad where his money was, had him like open up his coat pockets, his pockets out of his pants, like having him pull off his socks, showing him that there's no money there, put his shoes back on. And my dad looked like the kind of guy you wanted to mug, right? Kind of a dorky white guy, right? Because of that, he'd actually been mugged once before. And through that experience,
my dad,
he realized or recognized something, in that you have about 1 second to act before somebody knows what's going on. And so as they're heading to the bad part of town, my dad formulates and puts a plan into action that he knows he'll execute as soon as they slow down the car to about 15 miles an hour. Yeah. So the car is going 60 miles an hour, down to 50, down to 40, 30, 20, as they approach a stoplight, down to 15 miles an hour. At that point, my dad leaps up from the back middle seat, reaches over the passenger in the passenger seat, opens the door, and uses the momentum of the slowing car to whip that door open and pull him out of the car, which then he ran backwards down traffic to escape. And that's the story of my dad being kidnapped in Peru.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for sharing that. I wanted to add more context about your background and, you know, how your family lost everything and had to rebuild. So then you became part of the company. You helped rebuild it. And I'm sure the plan was for you to take over someday, but that someday just happened a little faster than you anticipated. Did you, beyond the heartache, I know what it's like to lose a parent as well, suddenly, right? Unexpectedly. What were the other things that happened? Did you feel prepared to take over? Were you ready to be the leader of the organization?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One thing my dad had done quite well is he worked on raising me up in the time we worked together. So there were large swaths of the organization. I mean, it was a small company, like 15 people, but there's big chunks of that small company that I was operating fairly independently of him by the time of his death, but certainly not everything. And there were certainly skill sets that I didn't have yet either. And so, you know, unfortunately, one day he unexpectedly passed away. The next day I came in, now I'm having to manage this business. And I remember during that time, we were getting approval to build a brand new apartment building. It was called Emberwood Apartments in a city called Blaine. And I had struggled a little bit through city council because I didn't understand the importance of building the relationship rather than just the light of the law. So there's some lessons there. So I didn't have the best relationship with the city. And during the construction process, during this time, after I lost my dad, they actually shut us down twice. And the second time they shut us down, they looked at me and said, Mike, we don't think you have what it takes. You need to hire somebody else that can manage this project independently of you. It was like one of the hardest moments of my life. And honestly, looking back, they were kind of right. There was a lot of skill sets, things that I needed to learn that I didn't know at that time. The trouble was that our site was entirely shut down until I found this new person. So I raced in a matter of 3 days to find someone that looked like they were quality on paper. And it certainly got past the city staff and gave us the freedom to do what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the right way to hire someone.
Right? No.
And that ended up being a bit of a debacle in itself. So behind the scenes, now we were kind of a front man, but behind the scenes, we're doing all the work that needs to get done. And I remember just a few months before, or 2 months or so before we're supposed to open, there's a water main that's buried 15 feet in the ground that's over 1,000 feet long.
Oof.
It's somewhere in this water main is a pinhole water leak. We can see it on the pressure test, but we have no idea where it is. And my excavator wants nothing more than to leave this construction site. And I pled with them to stay there. And literally, I remember being in my fairly nice clothes day after day from sunrise to sunset out there in the mud, shoveling away, looking for this tiny little pinhole leak. After weeks, eventually we find it. And I remember just a few days before we were supposed to open, the city staff were out looking at our site and they said, Mike, there's no way. You're not opening this building. I looked back at them and said, I have got families that are moving in just a couple of days. Where am I supposed to send them to go or tell them to go? And I remember the last day, we worked through the night. It was insane. But I remember the last day, half a dozen inspectors from the city come out for a half a day inspection. They look at every nook and cranny of that building. And I remember it as if it was yesterday. The head building official, after all that inspection, pulls me aside in the parking garage and said, Mike, I know we were hard on you, but honestly, looking at this project today, this is the nicest project that we've opened in this city. Like, finally, a moment where somebody looked at me and said, dude, maybe you can do this. And finally, a moment that I actually gained a little confidence in myself.
Yeah. But boy, was that a trial by fire.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you primarily focus on real estate in Minnesota right now? And is it with contracts with government where you're opening affordable housing? Is it independent? What does that world look like? That our listeners can get a bit more of an understanding of where you're at and then where you can go.
Yeah, this is a good distinction to make. We don't make affordable housing. We're working to make housing affordable.
Nice.
And so certainly there's some great people working with governments in order to subsidize their housing to provide it at a lower rate. The problem is if you really want to solve America's housing affordability crisis, you can't do it that way. And the reason is there's not enough money in the rest of the economy to pull out to subsidize housing because housing is such a huge part of the overall economy.
Right.
The only way to solve it is by driving down those construction costs. Now, we produce multifamily apartments only in Minnesota at this time, primarily because that's where our production capabilities are. We're planning to expand into other states as we continue to grow. But the ultimate dream is first we drive down those costs, which we can talk more about. But once we've done that, which we have and are doing more of, we're working now to scale up production. And our dream over the next decade is to reach about 192,000 units under management, producing about 60,000 units per year. And at that pace, we're producing enough units into the markets that we're serving that abundance of supply starts driving down price. Now, here is the key. It's not just for our own residents. It's for everyone in that market that we're serving, because it's an overall supply, not just a subsidy.
Yeah. I have a few thoughts and questions here. One, I know some people who work in housing in California and have started using 3D printing to help build communities. So I want to know, is that one of the tactics that you use? Is that one thing that helps drive down costs? I also know that it's really hard to find skilled labor. People don't want to go into these jobs. So how do you stay competitive with the teams that you have to staff up to get the projects done? And then the third part of this question was, I had a really great conversation with somebody who's an AI expert. And one of the things he said is that AI is going to make the cost of living much less expensive in the future. And so, sorry for the three-part question, but those were the things I was thinking of as you were speaking. And so I'd love to hear, how are you driving down costs? How are you continuing to find the right team members at an affordable cost to you to keep costs down? And then, is AI part of this construct that you're seeing for construction? And I have other questions, but we'll start there.
Those are fantastic questions. So there are technologies like the 3D printing that are fantastic. They're super interesting. We're definitely, you know, dabbling in some of those spaces, but they are a headline. They're not a solution.
Okay.
To give you some sense of how you actually drive down those costs, one thing in the world of construction is it's very segmented. You have different companies that are your plumbers, electricians, HVAC, all coming to work together on one project. You know, if cars were produced the way that construction or buildings are, you'd have a different company installing the windshield, a different company installing the door, and a different company installing the wheel. And of course, you know, the wheel company, they would call you up and say, hey, I'm so sorry, I got delayed on another project and I can't get out there for 2 weeks.
Wow.
You'd be entirely shut down. See, the world of manufacturing looks at us and says, you're crazy. And we respond with, this is the way it's always been done. Well, that's not good enough.
Why?
You know, if you look at the past 60 years, industries like manufacturing have labor productivity by 760%. Construction's done nothing during that same time period. So we brought all the work under one roof, and now we're taking the technologies and the techniques that have revolutionized manufacturing, and now we're applying it to the world of construction with great success. So that's the basics of it. I could go further if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But your second question, this is a really interesting one, because yes, it's incredibly hard to find skilled tradesmen, as it is in a lot, like a lot of different fields right now, to hire great people. We were faced with exactly the same problem. And the way we were trying to solve it before was a disaster. We would have a temp labor come in and kind of do the work when we needed to fill jobs. Did not a good way. Someone much smarter than me came alongside me and said, Mike, you're doing it wrong. Instead, you need to focus on hiring the very best people. Because when you hire the best people, they outperform the average by 2 to 5 to 10 times as much.
Right.
And so then we were faced with the question, hardly hire anyone, let alone the very best people. So what do we do to solve it? We ended up, and at this point in our company, we're only about 100 employees. We ended up hiring about a dozen recruiters. Crazy, I know. But yeah. When we had that kind of the recruiting team, what they were able to do is start identifying everyone in the market. There's only a few hundred thousand people in our market that could be quality. And then that, if you tie that to our culture, that subset gets really small, because we're creating sort of a Google-esque culture in the world of construction, which most construction workers don't into that culture. And so they ended up building up that database, building those relationships, and building such a strong funnel that now we went from accepting about 50% of applicants, now we accept 0.4% about 10 times harder to currently get into our company than into Harvard. And that's been a game changer for us. The caliber of people that work here are literally some of the world leading people. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. One of our guys in 2007, Steve Jobs announces the iPhone. Steve Jobs walks off stage and our employee walks on that same stage following Steve Jobs' announcement. It's that kind of caliber of people and they change the world. Now, the last question was about AI, and AI is going to change everything. I see it coming, but it's not overnight and you still need the systems and the infrastructure. AI is a tool, is a solution that plugs into a wider scope that you have to have already built and are thinking about. Some of the small ways that AI we're actively looking at using right now is in things like the design process, like coming up with new designs for buildings and kind of optimizing based upon constraints that we put in place. There is robotics right now that we're looking at, that like a machine that paints walls automatically, or self-driving excavation equipment. All these things are fueled by AI. You look at Boston Dynamics and their robots that can do flips and stuff. Now, it's a ways out. We've had conversations, but it's a ways out yet before they're actually useful on a construction site. Cool. But that is eventually coming. And we actually, at orientation, we show AI, we show that robotics to our teams. Because I want to set the ground right from the beginning that they're not here to try to take our jobs or anything like that. But we want to be constantly thoughtful about incorporating those kind of technologies into the business that we have today.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I love it. I love the innovation that you're putting into what you're doing. I feel like you're at the top of the game, but you're also a best kept secret. So I want to know, do you go, are you consulting with people in other states around the world on how they can improve their processes, their teams, their culture to, you know, who are like-minded, who want to create the world vision that you see?
Well, I mean, absolutely. If you think you can solve all these problems on your own, you just can't. Right. And the thing that I've learned in life is how little I really know and how much I need incredible people to teach, coach, and mentor and develop me, and how much I enjoy pouring into other people as well. This is small, but we're on, you know, major news networks on a regular basis, sharing ideas and thoughts. We're on a lot of podcasts. We often get asked to speak at events. I have people that just reach out and want to collaborate and learn together and grow together. There's some really kind of innovative companies in the modular space. We're not full volumetric modular. We do kind of kit and pieces, but it's been interesting kind of collaborating and learning from each other on trying to find the most effective, efficient ways to do this stuff. And we have a partnership with Toyota, for example. Toyota invented the world of lean and really kind of spearheaded the way over the past 60 years to radically improve the world of manufacturing. We said, why not connect directly with them? So their executives will fly out here on a regular basis to learn and grow. And that I'm mainly learning from them, but it's been just a fantastic experience as well. But just, you have to have amazing people work together. And when I say amazing people, let me be really clear here. There are a lot of very good average people. Nothing wrong with that. But in order to really change the industry, in order to change the world, you need the ideas of the top 1%, top 0.1%.
Mm-hmm.
They change everything. I'll give you one example. One of the experts that we've worked with was an expert specifically in the chemistry of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look for new ways to utilize concrete effectively. He can make concrete clean itself. somehow using UV light and the fact that it rains on top of that, like it will actually, there's like a chemical reaction on the concrete where it's self-cleaning, right? Only the top of the top people in the world have those kind of ideas that can change everything for you.
How did you decide to go down this innovation path? Was this something that your parents had started, or was this because of your background, the studies that you did, the things that you were interested in?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is my dad died relatively young.
Right.
It really reminded me how short life really is. We only live about 5,000 weeks here on Earth, and I often ask myself the question, how do I want to spend the minutes I have here on Earth? And for me, such a big part of that is that I want to spend my life making a meaningful, positive impact in the world. To quote Steve Jobs, in some way, I like to make a dent in the universe, and I want to work with people that want to support or to do that as well. And so it's really been like a thread of who I am for most of my life, and certainly grew a lot more after my dad's passing. And that's really what's inspired this. I get people who ask me on a regular basis. In fact, one of our attorneys, we had a conversation this week, and he said, Mike, like, we're working on some crazy, I won't even go into all of it, we're working on some cool things. And he looked at me and said, Mike, I work with a lot of clients in the real estate space. None of them will even touch the kind of stuff that you're trying to do. And I looked back at him and said, yeah, and that's why we're stuck here.
I mean,
not all of it will work out. There are failures along the way, and I'm okay with the failures because I am much more concerned about not living life, making the biggest impact I can, rather than some failures we'll have along the way.
Right. Yeah. The failures are all the lessons that we need to collect so that we can
absolutely
do better the next time. How do other construction companies react to you? So I imagine that there are a lot, like you said, that aren't interested necessarily in innovation. They're just interested in the bottom line. You know, you're competing with them for consumers. So what does that look like?
Well, we get a variety of reactions. There are some companies, in like the CEO of actually one of the top competitors in our area, I've got a great relationship with them. I really enjoy working with them. We're both in YPO together. Like, we have a similar kind of like abundance mentality. Like, if we can learn and grow together, we'll all be better. Like, we're trying to better humanity, not just compete against each other. And frankly, competition's good. There's certainly others, and I've had plenty of them throughout my life, that look at what we do and they say, this isn't normal. This isn't the status quo. Like, it's different. Therefore, it's wrong, right? And so we definitely get our share of, I guess, haters, if you will, in that process. But, you know, that's normal. Like, I'd rather, so you start off, you're so small, nobody knows about you. But as you grow and doing things different, that's when you start to get those haters and the people that are frustrated and mad about you changing something. But if you can make it through that, eventually get to a point where people look at you and say, wow, you did do something different. You did change the world in some meaningful way. And so that's just part of the process of try to make an impact.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I also know you have a family. You're active in your community. So do you turn that off, you know, a little bit? Like, do you keep work and family really separate so that you can really pour into each one and focus that time and attention? Or do they meld over? Do you think that your children will someday take over the company? Is that your wish? I know they're little, but...
I want what's best for my kids, and I also want what's best for the company. And just because they're my kids doesn't mean they're going to be best to lead the company going forward. But certainly, to try to change the world through a company, it takes a lot of time and a lot of attention. And that is one of the biggest challenges. But for me, even though I work a ton of hours, at 6 o'clock every night, I am home with the kids. And when I walk in the door, my immediate response, no matter how hard of a day it is, it's, hey, Claire Bear, you know, like it's a top energy, super excitement, kids running to hog, goofing off with each other, just having fun with the family, and put them to bed. And then once they're back in bed, I can get back to what I need to get done. But there's been some fun overlaps as well. For example, my daughter was really passionate about wanting to start a YouTube channel. It's like, she was only five. So no, there's no way. No, 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 no. She didn't stop. And eventually I said, fine, we'll do it. We started a YouTube channel, and that started to grow. And it's been really interesting because it's allowed us to also build the fans for the business because they get to see the personal side of life.
Yeah.
And we've done some fun things. For example, we filled a dump truck full of candy, drove around the neighborhood, and then gave out candy to the kids in the neighborhood. And eventually we donated the food shelf. This last couple of weeks, we've been filming a shot with the local radio station and TV station where Claire actually went in and took over the radio. She was on with the radios and all that. So that was kind of fun. In fact, on Thursday, the major news network here in our market has invited us to come on TV. So that would be fun. But that only happened. It's sort of like this project, this fun side thing that my daughters and I have been doing.
Nice.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But how nice that you can honor who they are. I think that's one of the most important things as parents. My daughter is very different from me in many ways, but she also has some qualities that I'm really like, I'm like, oh, there I am a little bit in you that are really beautiful things. And so it's amazing when you can really like support them on their journeys, but also see how you can be involved and how you can help maybe make it a little bit easier.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Wow. So what is next for the company? You are obviously doing a lot. You're innovating. You said you teased out a little bit of like some new things that you're going to be doing at Norhart. Is there a way for people to get involved? Is there a way for people to, you know, say, hey, I would love to learn more about this for my community?
Yeah, there's a few ways to get involved. You know, what's interesting right now, the biggest challenges we're faced with is with the rise in interest rate came more restrictive capital markets. In particular, bank loans went from providing large amounts of money to moderate amounts of money, which is still good, and I appreciate that. But it's just meaning we are having to change our way that we raise capital. And so one of the ways that we changed it, the way people can get involved, is we launched a new investment vehicle. It's called Norhart Invest. It offers up to a 10% rate of return for money that you invest into Norhart Invest. Can lock up between 6 months and 5 years. That's been really fun watching that grow. And what's really interesting about that, it's a small part of our overall capital stack, but I really like it because it gives a way for people to get involved, but also the vast majority of opportunities only go to the hyper wealthy. And it took us a year to get approval from the SEC to actually launch this. A lot of work, thousands of pages of legal documents, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I liked doing it because it gave a way for everyone in America to be involved if they so choose. So that's one way. And certainly as we raise more capital, then we'll be moving into more markets. The kind of crazier things that we are working on is we're raising very large international funds right now. And to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars and probably eventually billions of dollars. And that's been a whole new world for me. That is the hyper wealthy people that are bringing at least $10 million a person to investment. They've got each one of these groups has billions to invest. But that world is a whole new world. Holy moly. It's something else getting all that structure and all that set up right so that we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you have two very different spectrums. For Norhart Invest, what is the minimum investment that somebody could make? Because 10% rate of return is a lot better than you're going to get having your money sit in the bank right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just $2,500. So we keep it relatively low.
So from $2,500 to tens and hundreds of millions, that's quite a range. And that's exciting.
We have something for every level of investor.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic. Gosh, I'm so just in awe of what you're doing. And I'm already thinking of like people who would love to learn from what you're doing or other people to connect you with, which I'll have to do after we jump off the recording. But I just want to ask, I guess, one last question. Well, two, is there anything that you want to talk about that I've left out? Number one.
I'll mention two things. One is we have our own podcast called Zero to Unicorn. It's about the journey of small businesses growing to billion-dollar scale. We've had some amazing guests One of my favorite is Michael Uslan, who's the originator and the executive producer of Batman. In fact, when he was young, he scraped a few investors together to buy the rights, the movie rights to Batman. And he thought it would be a slam dunk. Went all to all the different movie houses or studios and asked if they'd be willing to make that movie. But no one would. Everyone slammed the door in his face, and it took him 10 years.
Please.
10 years of hard work to actually get those movies made. But honestly, looking back now, he's probably the father of the modern superhero movies, and he's done some incredible stuff since then. So that's one fun thing. And maybe one last piece of advice just for people in general is that anytime you start something new, you're going to be terrible at it. That's okay. So we do new stuff all of the time. And the most important lesson that I've learned is to get comfortable in that failure. This is an interesting study that was done that looked at two different groups of people. One was told to make the very best clay pot they could. The second group was told to make as many clay pots as they could. Well, they found the first group made a decent clay pot. It was certainly better than the first pots of the second group. But the second group, the one that made a lot of clay pots, their last clay pot was so much better than the first group. It wasn't even close. And there's the key, right? You have to get comfortable with the city telling you you're not good enough, to being shut down by city officials, to failing along the way, to having to pivot and change and go to international investors and just get out there, put your foot forward and be okay with those failures along the way. That is the only way to meaningfully impact an industry.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I love that. And I do always ask if my guests have a favorite quote, mantra, verse that you want to share. The words you just dropped on us are amazing, but if you have anything else that you'd want to add, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I guess I'll quote Steve Jobs. One of my favorite quotes. Let's make a dent in the universe.
Ooh. This has been such an amazing conversation. I've really enjoyed my time here with you, Mike. So thank you for offering your
time. Thank you.
Yeah. And to everybody who's watching or listening, I'll be back again tomorrow with another amazing guest. Don't forget to listen and take notes, because Mike shared so many gems. And I am going to look at this and also introduce some people who I think might want to invest. This seems like an amazing opportunity to not only invest money in something that's sound, but to help change and innovate for the future of all of us. So, Mike, thank you again for being here. And thank you for the audience for listening and watching this episode of Your Brand Amplified.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplified.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.